Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
The topic of our message today is from membership to discipleship. What is it? From membership to discipleship. From membership to discipleship. Let us pray one more time. Father, you've blessed us, filled us, strengthened us. We want to stay blessed. We want to stay filled. We want to stay strong. Make us your disciples. Make us your kingdom people. And that we will not just be members, but disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. From membership to discipleship. And you wonder, why a topic like that? If we're all supposed to be disciples, then why from membership to discipleship? The reality is that we as a church make good members. In other words, we produce good members. Okay? But do we produce disciples? That's the question. Because there is a difference between being a member and being a disciple. Amen? I'm going to say something that's may sound a little radical. It is possible to be a member of the church without being a disciple of Christ. Let me say it again, just a little more. It is possible to be a very supportive, active, involved member of the church and yet not be a disciple of Christ. I didn't always know that. We've been talking about discipleship. The word disciple, it's closely knit with the word discipline. You notice? It's a disciplined person who follows the teachings of Jesus. And more importantly, not just the teachings of Jesus, but who follows Jesus. Everything about Jesus. I mean, literally, they do everything to imitate Jesus. So, whatever life Jesus lived, the quality of life, the type of life, the values in which he lived with, a true disciple is one who follows that. Amen? And look at this, because one thing I love about being a Christian and being a follower of Christ, he always challenges you. So let me challenge you with this text. It's not our main text, but it's one that introduces us to our main text in John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. So we're talking about a disciple, a person who's disciplined in following Jesus Christ with all their heart. John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me," check this out, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So, question is, are you a disciple? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? I see at least one person. I'm not looking very intently, but this person is writing something down. I see two individuals that I haven't really seen taking notes, and you're taking notes. That's good, because you're going to make sure, you got to realize who is your teacher. It's the Holy Spirit. Bible says he would lead you into all truth. And when you write it down, you can always go back, look at it, and go deeper into it. Amen? Because these messages are not just to entertain you. They're not just to fill in time so we can have a religious service. This is God truly speaking to your heart to do something transformational, even something radical for you today. All right? So, this text we just read, Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciple, and believe it or not, this is the day before he dies. The day before he dies. And he says to them, in John 14, verse 12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. What kind of work did Jesus do? Are you doing that work? That's the question. Am I doing that work? And then he says, greater works than these shall you do. Who would like to be a part of that greater work than what even Jesus did? He says that about you. And one thing I've learned about the Bible, I've learned to take the Bible at God's word. I've learned to say, you know what? If it's in here, it's for me. Have you ever read the Bible and found something in the Bible that God wants in your life, but it's not in your life? You ever found that? You ever read the Bible and you've seen that, I'm not doing that. Yeah, you ever found that in the Bible? Anybody out there? I don't lost a congregation so quick. Am I still sounding like I'm speaking the English language? Just double checking. Because you know, in the Bible times, there was one time when they spoke in one language and the folk heard them in another language. I want to make sure. I don't know. The Holy Ghost may come upon me, have me start speaking in a different language. Y'all don't understand. Okay, let me back up a little bit, because everyone was really engaging, and I asked a question, and it's like I lost you. Have you ever read something in the Bible where God talks about something that he wants in our lives, but when you look at your own life, you see, nah, this is not in my life. You ever found that? You ever found yourself where you're doing something, and you read the Bible, and you realize, whoa, God says, don't do that. You ever found that? Well, you know, whenever I find such things, it doesn't make me kind of cringe. It doesn't make me draw back. You know what I do? I go according to Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it's verse 16, where it says that I go boldly to God. And I say, God, why isn't this in my life? Am I not your child? Did you not die for me through Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins? Aren't you planning to take me to heaven? So why is this not in my life? That's how I talk to God. Now you may say, well, what if it is something that I have done? I ask him the same question. Because he is responsible for changing me. He is responsible for changing me. Not myself. Can a leopard change its spots? Neither can you or I change ourselves. Some of you actually think you can. And that's why you're so frustrated. And I pray that there's no one here like that. Okay? You cannot change yourself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God shows you, this is the Bible, it's like a mirror. You look inside of it, like you do in a mirror, and what do you see? What did you see the first time you looked in the mirror this morning? You were like, ooh, I'm so glad that this is not what everybody sees. And that was not what you said? Okay, and then you start working on yourself, didn't you? And I can see every single one of you. You worked on yourself this morning. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I would not want to see the way you looked when you woke up. Well, that's what the Bible's like. It's like a mirror, isn't it? You look into the mirror and you see who you really are. And then the mirror points out to you what's right, what's wrong. It tells you what you ought to keep on doing, tells you what you need to stop doing. That's the mirror. But it's the Holy Spirit that's like soap and water. Hallelujah. Amen. And even like sometimes, even though we don't use disinfectants and stuff, those harsh chemicals like chlorine, I tell you sometimes when it comes to the heart, God needs to use every cleansing agent that he can. You know what was so funny? There was a friend of mine, and Maxine, you know this guy, very good friend of ours. He came from the Caribbean as a teenager to England, and he was about to take his first bath. Now he lived in the country, okay, and he wasn't used to all the niceties of living in the city, and especially the city of London, with indoor plumbing and all that kind of stuff. He was in a remote country area in one of the Caribbean islands. And he was like, okay, what do I use? What do I use? What do they use? And he's trying to figure all this stuff and all these different stuff they had here. And he made a decision. Okay, when he was done taking his bath and he came out, he was obviously a black person, but man, his face almost looked white. It was just, and his mother said, "What did you do?" I took a bath. Took a bath, and she went, "What did you use?" And he used the scarring powder, Comet, to wash himself. Some of us need, well, God needs to apply that Comet on our hearts. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we smile at that lad, but believe me, God, if he has to, he will use those things in our hearts. Isn't that right? So whatever God says in his word, whatever he says in his word, you have a right for that to be included in your life. John 14:12 says that the works that he did, I will do, you will do greater works than these if I believe in him, if I follow him. Now, if that's not happening in your life, you need to ask God, why not? Don't walk away from here discouraged. Don't walk away here from saying, well, I'm not as holy, I'm not as good, or it doesn't apply to me. No, Jesus Christ died for every single person in this room, everybody in the world. And so every promise in God's word applies to us. Amen. With our children, I cannot give one child a present on their birthday and another child does not get the present. The other child who didn't get the present will demand a present. Wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? This is how we must be with the word of God. Come on and say amen. You're a believer in God, say amen. This word belongs to you. God went through so much to keep these 66 books alive so that you can read them and you can have them and the quality of your life can be so enriched. So don't you ever read something in this book and says, oh, it doesn't apply to me. It applies to you. God wants you to have it. And if you don't have it, just say, God, okay, what are you going to do about it? You said this is supposed to be part of my life. I am a believer. I am a follower. I'm not a 2-cent follower. I'm not a $3 follower. I'm a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. So God gets working on me right now. Amen. How many of you want to say that? Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God does not need part-time Christians. How many of you would like to have a part-time God? The only work from 8 to 12. Well, let's not be a part-time Christian, part-time follower, part-time believer. Let's not just be a seventh-day Christian, but 7 days Christian. We may be Seventh-day Adventists, but we're not seventh-day Christians. We're Christians 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. Amen? Did I lose anybody? All right. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And verse 57. One thing with the Bible, when you read the Bible, you learn how to count. A lot of chapters, a lot of verses. Luke chapter 9. We're going to see if we can tackle this subject from membership to discipleship real quick. Luke chapter 9, verse, we're going to read several verses here, verses 57 to 62. All right, here we go. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man, right? You notice in some of your Bibles, man is italicized, okay? Meaning that that word was supplied. It's not in the original language. They just supplied it. In other words, if you say a certain person, okay? A certain person said to him, what did they say? They called him Lord. What does Lord mean? Master. Is he the master of your life? Is he in charge of your life? Master. Lord, he says, I will follow you. You notice, was he following him? Was this person who's saying this following Jesus? No. Why? Because he says, I will do it. I will follow you wheresoever you go. I will. I'm not doing it right now, Lord. I know I need to do it right now, but I'm not doing it, but I will do it. How many of us are like that? Don't raise your hands. We hear something from the Word of God. We hear God calling us, inviting us, and we leave saying, I will do it, Lord. I will do whatever you say. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man does not have where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But the answer came back, he said, What did he say? What's that word? Didn't he call him Lord? How can he be Lord and not be following him? Isn't that, that's a contradictory statement, isn't it? I'm saying Lord, Master, ruler of my life, but I'm not following you. Lord, suffer or allow me first to go and bury my father. Bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead. But go and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, all these contradictory statements. Lord, Master, Ruler, I will follow you. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said to him, no person having put his hand to the plow, he gives us an agricultural lesson here, an example or illustration of plowing a field. No person having put his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, do we have members who join the church, but then they look back? Do we have that going on today? Someone says, oh yeah. We do, don't they? But yet, those individuals are still fit to be members of the church. But a person who says, I will follow Jesus, but does not, but looks back, turns back, says, you may be fit for membership, but you're not fit for discipleship. And so I want to briefly just talk about how we can be good, powerful disciples of God. There are four words that you need to have in your vocabulary to be a disciple of God. Four words. What are those four words? First word is admit. What is the first word?
Admit.
What is the first word?
Admit.
The second word is submit. What is the second word?
Submit.
The third word is commit. What is the third word?
Commit.
And the fourth word, who can guess the fourth word? Now, we're dealing with the mitts here, so you got to stay with me. Admit, submit, commit, and? We got to submit. Fourth word is transmit. Ah, four words, admit. What's the second one? Submit. Third one? Commit. Fourth one? Transmit. Those four words sum up the Christian life. Those four words sum up what it is to be a follower, true disciple of Jesus Christ. You admit that you are what? You admit you are a sorrow loser who's a sinner. You admit, in the words of Revelation 3, that you are wretched spiritually. You're spiritually wretched. You're spiritually poor. You're spiritually blind. You're spiritually naked. Right? And you have absolute need of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. Remember, there's the Gospel of John, and there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to 1 John, which is right before Revelation. So you find the last book of the Bible, and you just turn a couple of pages or so, and you will run into 1 John chapter 1. And we will look at verse 8. 1 John 1, verse 8. Got to read it real quick. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is what? He's faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins, and then goes the extra mile, and he does what? Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make who a liar? Him a liar, and that's God, and his word is not in us. Verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. First thing we got to do as a disciple of God is admit that we are in need of Jesus Christ. He doesn't need us, we need him. Amen. Admit that we are a sinner and we need a Savior. Now, spiritually speaking, if you're in a hole, do you want to be taken just halfway out the hole? Because if you're halfway out, you're still halfway in. And as far as you're concerned, you're still in the hole. So if you're going to let God rescue you, let him rescue you all the way. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Second word is what? Submit. Submit. You got to submit. Let's turn to James. That's just a few books before John. Matter of fact, you have James, Peter, then 1 John. So James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. It says here, submit yourself therefore to who? To God, and do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. What does that word submit mean? It's out of the three words, it's the one that we sometimes have the most difficulty with. Submitting ourselves. We not only have difficulty submitting ourselves to God, we have difficulty submitting ourselves to anyone else or anything else. It's just something within us that resists submission. And submission, words that means or that are synonymous to submission is surrender. All right, this is complete surrender. Forsaking all. Forsaking all. And it's also where you are making a pact with God and say, God, I am putting myself under you. All right, so that my life is totally governed by you. I'm submitting myself. And that's the second thing that a true disciple ought to be. You submit. In other words, you say, Father, I have some ideas of my own. I have some ways of my own. I have some habits of my own. I'm going to submit those things to you. And if any of those things are out of line with you, I'm going to give them up. I'm going to let you work on my life, rule in my life, and work on me so that I am in harmony with you. That's submit. Okay? God also has us submit to individuals. Okay? Children submits to parents. Okay? Even says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And then a couple of verses down, it says, submit yourselves, husbands and wives, to one another. Okay? You can read that in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter 5. But it also says where we ought to submit ourselves to those that who rule over us, right? Not only in government, but in the church. And I thank God for the elders in this church. All right, let's look at what the Bible says about the elders of the church. Are you ready? Go to Hebrews. Hebrews is right before James. If you have James, you run right into Hebrews. Chapter 13 and verse 7. Because when we learn to submit to one another, we also learn to submit to Christ. The Bible says that except you be like little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we ought to be not just good members, we need to be good disciples. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. This is talking about individuals who have been your leaders in the past. And they may be dead and gone. He says you ought to still remember them. Pastors who have led you in the past, elders who have led you in the past, don't forget them. You still live in subjection to them. Okay? Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with what? Joy and not what? Grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Okay? So this submission thing is a hard thing to do. You've got to give up your pride. Amen? And all this in the Lord. Verse 24, it says, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Okay? And so it goes on. We must learn as a people to submit. Amen? The way we submit in the church is different from the way people in the world submit. Okay, people in the world can submit, you know, by clocking in, clocking out. They submit to get in at 8, don't leave before 5. They may not do it wholeheartedly. In other words, they're doing it just legalistically. They're just doing it just to get a paycheck. Whereas with Christ, we submit with our hearts. What we do with our lips, with our hands, we also do with our hearts. So we must learn to submit. And incidentally, in James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, after it says, submit yourself to God, then it says, resist the devil. Okay, it's not talking about going in hand-to-hand combat with the devil. Hope you understand that. The word there, resist, actually is stand against the devil. Okay, or put it more specifically, take a stand against the devil. And not only with your mouth, but with your life. So in other words, everything the devil does and upholds, we're going to take a stand against it. You ever heard of the word boycott? You ever heard of the word demonstration? Yeah, that's what Christians do against the devil. Anything he does and he promotes, we boycott it. We demonstrate against it. Oh, I tell you, if I got paid based on those amens, I'd be a very poor person. And those amens are not for me. Those amens are for the Word of God. We take a stand against the devil in what we watch and what we read and the places we go and who we hang out with. Come on and say amen. We are children of God, and He wants us to submit ourselves to Him and to each other. The next word is commit. The next word is commit. What does the word commit mean? What does the word commit mean? Commit is a word where you are making a decision to go all the way with God. That you are saying that my heart is fixed, my mind is made up, I'm committing myself, I'm putting myself in a position where this is my life. I'm going to do it day in, day out. And our time is moving on, so let me move on to the next word, and that next word is transmit. What is that next word? Transmit. Transmit. I got to give you the text for that in Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. It's amazing, you know, when you've read a text for so many years, and God can still give you new meaning on a particular text. And this, as you know me, this text is just it's part of my life. It sums, you know, the text that sums me up as a person, because I truly believe in this text right here. Acts 1 verse 8. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the world. This is talking about taking not just Bakersfield for Christ, but taking the world for Christ. Wherever I go, wherever you go, if we are disciples of God, we realize, you know, this is a potential for me to take this particular place for God. But I like what he says. He says that we are not going to be disciples without power. He says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. And, you know, I've always read it and recited this text from the King James Version, where it says, after that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But when I read it, I actually, this week, I tell you, boy, this week has been some week. It's been some week, because I've had to get into the Word. Then you get a phone call, then you got to run, you got to go see somebody. You get back into the Word, you get another phone call, this and the other. It's been, I mean, that's how my week goes every single week. But I still got to get into the Word. And I got into this word right here, Acts 1:8. Looked into the Greek. And opened my Greek Bible and opened my Greek dictionary and looked further into this text. And it's amazing what the truth that God brought out. The phrase after that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it actually should read, you shall receive power, the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Okay? You shall receive power, the Holy Ghost coming upon you. In other words, the Holy Ghost coming upon you is not a one-time event. It's not just something that happens once and that's it. It's something that happens continually. And if the Holy Spirit is coming upon you continually, that means you're receiving power continually. Amen? And the kind of power it's talking about here is where we get the word dynamite from. The dynamite, explosive power. That's the kind of power God says that every Christian, every disciple will receive. Amen? So I've got to pray like I have the power. I have to work like I have the power. I have to sing like I have the power. I have to go about my life as if I have the power. I'm not a puny Christian. Amen? Hallelujah. God does not base my admitting, my submitting, my committing, my transmitting based on my power, but based on His power. Amen. And if I lack the power, I've got to connect with it. It's just like electricity. We have the lights on in here. The only reason why we have the lights in here is not because we have a light switch. It's because we have an electrical current that's connected to the light switch. And when we switch it on, we get the power. Amen. So it is with a Christian life. We said to God, invites us to become disciples. We say yes. We don't make excuses. God says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What we say, but. God says, return a faithful tithe and offering. What we say, but. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we say, but. Those are excuses. Anybody can make excuses. But the true disciple of God realizes, you know what? God says you follow, I'm going to follow. And that word, I just realized I didn't even tell you what that word, last word, means. It's self-explanatory. Transmit. That's where now you will transmit your story and communicate your story, your testimony about Jesus in your life. About the admitting, about the submitting, about the committing that you have done for Jesus. That you will now transmit that to other people. Amen? That sums up the life of a disciple. There was this man who owned a factory, actually found a factory to make shoes. And he bought all the machineries, and he bought all the equipment and put everything in place. And after about a year, he went to his manager and he says, how many shoes have we produced? And he says, none, sir. No shoes? So is okay, everything okay? And he says, yeah, the machines work fine. As a matter of fact, the machines are working every single day. We test them. We run them. We have a full slate of employees that come in every single day for the past year. Everything has been working so well, sir. But we haven't gotten around to producing shoes yet. Now, what would you do with a person like that? What would you do with a person like that? You would fire that person and get another new manager, wouldn't you? Okay, now, what about the Christian person, the Christian disciple? God calls them, asks them, how you doing? fine, sir. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm involved in this ministry. I'm involved in that ministry. Have you produced a disciple yet? Well, no, sir. I haven't produced it yet, but I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm involved in different ministries. What would you do? Were a disciple like that. What is God doing with you and me? What's he doing with you right now? Right now. Are you admitting that you need him? All of him? Are you truly in your heart right now submitting? Are you right now saying, you know what, God? This thing is just too good not to follow through with it. I'm going to commit. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And I'm going to transmit. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. How many of you are truly willing to say that? So that heaven can register something wonderful in your life story. That today made a difference because of your admitting, submitting, committing, and transmitting. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you so much for this very short time that you had to engage us to truly, truly come to you, follow you. Thank you, Lord. This, I tell you, as I look at my own experience, and I can only imagine what other people have experienced. It's truly amazing. It's truly mysterious how you speak to us, what you say to us. And truly what it feels like to literally cross the line for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as I pray, Lord, to you, I just open up this prayer for the individuals to say thank you to you. Because truly, Lord, you don't give up on us. You don't give us a watered down version of the gospel. Because everything in this book that you've said about us, you want, and we read it and you revealed it to us, you want us to follow. You don't want to hear our excuses because it's not based upon our power. It's based upon your power. You don't want to hear what we don't have. It's not based on what we have. It's based upon what you have. We don't want to have to hear the excuses about what we can or cannot do. It's not based upon our ability, Lord. It's based upon your ability. All you need is someone to say yes. To take a bold step for you. And to not live the substandard Christian life. And I admit, Lord, for years I was living that life. I was just kind of going by what others showed me. But thank God that you revealed to me something else, something deeper, something more true in your word. And I did not say, well, that's what I was taught. No, I boldly accepted what you said. And yes, it meant me submitting, it meant me admitting and committing and transmitting, it meant me being disciplined, it meant me sometimes crawling the walls and climbing the walls and saying, God, this is too hard for me. It tested my flesh, it tested my carnal nature, it tested what the things and the bad habits I had in my life. But God, I so thank you for taking time with me. And revealing to me, you did not reveal these things to me for me to try to do them. You revealed them for you, for me to surrender to you so that you can do them to me, in me. And you're still doing that, Lord. Every single week, every single day, you bring me higher in you. And it's no secret what you can do. What you've done for me, you can do for every single person here. So, Father, listen to your children now, the responses they have given you. Not the responses with the hands, not the responses with the lips. Listen now to the responses of the heart. There are individuals, Lord, here who are admitting that they absolutely need you and desperately need you. The individuals, Lord, who are submitting. The individuals who are committing, transmitting. And if you do one, it's with the expectation of doing the other. And you cannot do them in reverse order. So teach us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, so that you can do which you are so longing to do, so that you can hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. So in your hearts right now, just celebrate the life-changing and transforming experience that God has allowed you to have. And thank him. Truly, truly thank him. It's going to be a mysterious journey, a journey of faith, a journey where you are not in control, but a journey in which he is in control. You're going to find individuals coming up to you who really never found any interest in you at all, but somehow they'll just come up to you and they'll start asking you religious questions, spiritual questions. Be prepared for that, because now you're truly, truly, based on your decision, following Jesus Christ. And you're going to feel like, wow, this is too much for me. And that's okay, because being in this body, in this world, and operating based on the power of God, and he only gives you the power of God when you need it. You're not going to get it before you need it. And so you're going to actually sense that you need it, and then you're going to get it right when you need it. But that sensing you need it time is going to feel frustrating. But just hang in there. And whatever you don't understand, you just call out to God, cry out to God, and just ask him to help you. It's a journey of faith, but it's a wonderful one. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.